Blog Talk Radio.
And maybe we think, what? Two women built the house of Israel? We thought Israel did that. I thought that was Jacob's job. But you know, Jacob was out conniving, pulling some fast stunts to get his father-in-law's best sheep into his fold. Meanwhile, the women were at home building the house. So God credits the wives of Jacob with the building of his house. And so in a similar way, God is the one who builds his house, but the actual working is done by the builders. And again, I remind us how God looks upon us so confidently, that he tells us that we are workmen together with God. I believe if somehow we could catch the vision of what that phrase is saying, we'd all stop trying to do things for God. But let God do what it is he's going to do with the builders that he has chosen and put in place. And I believe it also makes us to understand that we can do nothing apart from our God. But then consider this. He has also chosen to do nothing apart from us. Look at how many times in the Bible, God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. But we also learn with the nation of Israel that God at times limited himself to the faith and response of his people. So God has chosen to do nothing apart from us, though he certainly could. Before he goes and destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, for example, he holds a conference with Abraham. And you see him time and again having a conference with one of his people before he acts. So in the same way, in the building of the house of God, he has chosen to be joined together with his people to accomplish his purpose in the earth. We read, contrary to what we often say, that Jesus reconciled us to God. He didn't. God reconciled us to himself in Jesus. For it says, God was in Christ reconciling us unto himself. Okay, you think of this, like this. Okay, here is a carpenter, all right? Here's a carpenter. He's doing some building. He's got some nails. He's got a hammer, all right? And so the nail goes on, the hammer goes, well, I mean, now modern guys use, you know, those guns. But us back from the olden days had hammers. All right. Now, so here's a nail, here's a guy, here's a hammer. Who hit the nail? Did the hammer hit the nail? Or did the carpenter hit the nail? What's the answer? The answer is yes. Because the hammer couldn't do anything by itself. And the carpenter's probably not going to do much with his fist nailing up studs. You see, God has joined himself together with us that we might be builders together with him. So yes, it was the carpenter that hit the nail. And yes, it was the nail, hammer that hit the nail. But the hammer is no good without it being in the hand of the carpenter. In the same way, we're really no good apart from God and his working in us and through us. Today is another wonderful family day. We honor the mothers, give recognition to them. But this holiday, like so many others, has lost its significance and become very much a formality. But I'd like to suggest that we use today, Father's Day, Children's Day, any family day we can kind of come up with to honor God, to honor family, to honor the house of God. You know how it's always said that a chain is only as strong as what? Its weakest link. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So the family of God, the church, the people of God, is only as strong as the weakest family that makes up that assembly. So we are pushing for strong, godly families. And God has an established order for the family. And it's not what the world tells us. Did you know that we, who are the body of Christ, are going to outlast the world? And yet, how often do we let the world dictate to us how to be, how to do? The world is here short term. But the people of God are forever. Because the people of God are in God. So why let the world dictate to us what can only be short-term knowledge? And what God has given us transcends time and space. So God has invested the family with authority. And the world is working really, really hard to divest the family of authority, to take away from the reality of family. I don't know if any of you saw, there was an article in one of the issues of the Observer Dispatch this week, and it was a guide on how to make moving in together easier. You know, we need to, even though it's maybe crude, we need to quit using nice terms like they're living together. And no matter how crude it is, get back to realizing they're just shacking up. And I don't think there are any rules for a smooth transition. But you see, we say, well, you know, that's just how it is. 10% of heterosexual couples, it said in this article, are consensual agreement arrangements. No matter how easy it is still as much a sin now as it ever was. And it's because God has invested the family with authority that the world is trying to erode that authority. But this authority is not automatic. Every member of the family must work at it, because every member has a significant role to fulfill. Each member of the family has been invested with the care of real aspects of the house. It's along the same line. God has invested every one of us with a, call it a talent if you want, or whatever, to fulfill his purpose in the family. And fulfill families then create that fulfilled church or the house of God, which then alters a community.